Hello and welcome to the second episode of All News, a weekly podcast that covers news and related topics from the world of video games, films, television, and much, much more. I'm your host, Thomas Ma, from the Centennial Journalism Program. As the second episode, I'll be being both a film and a video game to kick off my second year as a student journalist. So the first film I'll be viewing will be covering is Prometheus, a sci-fi science fiction film directed by Ridley Scott. And then I'll be talking about my first impressions about Max Payne, a video game for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. This segment is called What I've Recently Been Watching, where I talk about the recent to not so recent movies. The recent film I watched is Prometheus. Ridley Scott, who directed the first Alien film, returns to direct the prequel to Alien, Prometheus. Previously, his directing career isn't really successful. His recent film, Robin Hood, was not technically great and seems somewhat a disappointment in box office rating and negative reviews. His other films like Body of Lies, A Good Year, and Hannibal were terrible, and aside from American Gangster, which redeemed his career, Prometheus indeed brought back his talents into directing watchable and exciting films. Prometheus is a prequel to Ridley Scott's sci-fi horror, Alien, following a group of scientists and archaeologists, led by religious archaeologist Elizabeth Shaw, played by Naomi Rapierce, the captain of the ship Jennek, Idris Elba, and Wayland employee Marilia Figures, Sardis Faron, to monitor this expedition on board the ship of the same name, Prometheus. After discovering strange unknown drawings from Scotland in 2085, tracing to an unknown planet from another galaxy, eager to find these so-called engineers that were once humans, they were founded by Peter Wayland, played by Guy Pearce, CEO of Wayland Corporation, to the distant moon LV-223, and what horrors lay deep in ancient alien spaceship. What I find disappointing is how Scott tried to rush the story, having less exposition on how they were able to analyze and find the planet quickly. It doesn't let the audience know who were these anomalies are or anything besides the fact that there were humans back then, and justify this through a group of scientists had entered the alien spaceship, and all of a sudden these holographic images were activated by Android David, played by Michael Fassbender, who out of neglect of the group were able to activate it, even though we don't know what the heck is going on. There are some instances, like the main character, revealing that these aliens were humans once, and that they weren't the first one who had led an expedition here. I did not feel connected or feel sympathy with the characters in the film. Even though they were mostly Scottish and British, it felt like Scott just has the same stereotypes in mind like the ignorant person. I really did not care for the main character and felt like the characters were fairly explained. Plus, played by Michael Fassbender, wasn't really convincing. Unlike the first previous to Android's possession, previous movies. Sure, Fassbender's character fascinates to be a human, learning the universal language of Earth and the alien language, watching black and white films, and learning emotion and expressions. It's sure like that type of cliche of robots having feelings and also fascinated with alien technology, like Ian Holm's character, somewhat mischievous in his fascination with the objective to this company to rid all the group and affect the crew aboard to be scientifically tested. Although I question why this android wasn't announced among a malfunctional robot of the first one, despite the fact this is a prequel. There are many theories of the main character being android, but I'm not really convinced that she is an android anyway. Which implies that her childhood dreams when she had parents wasn't really a reality, but he really wanted. It implies that this was indeed a red herring if she was one, even though through a dialogue from Fassbender's character clearly implied that. But since this is a sequel, I don't think technology back then would scientifically develop a perfect android with feelings and emotions like an actual one. The design of these humanoid aliens look like they were ripped off from another horror movie by David Cronenberg, with exception that it doesn't have needles and that spike in his head. I really loathed the makeup for the old guy. I just felt that they put too much prosthetics to make him look like an aged man rather than having an actual actor replaced with a young one. Although what's even more worse is that I found the guy Pierce plays this character and it's had to apply prosthetics to make him look like an old man. I mean, it's no excuse to reuse the same actors for a script that did not get into play in the actual film, but for Pierce to play both roles of his characters is it's just ridiculous. Also, what I found disappointing is the lack of tension and horror that previous Alien movies have. The fact that the previous ones had this kind of paranoia and suspicion where no one is safe or could be trusted, as well as being quite claustrophobic, which the first Alien movie has. This film, however, does not really go into that road, which is really disappointing, but it still has that atmospheric and action vibe that the second film, Aliens, had. However, the first Alien film relies on that certain aspect heavily, while this film lacks from time to time. I thought that I was watching another sci-fi film. Granted, Prometheus did not fall on deriving its moments from previous one that much, but there aren't any specific moments, with the exception of a few scenes that did, or at least make me jump when, especially when the head crab pops up. However, the pacing, action, and drama wasn't what I expected. It's one of these films that what other people found to be lacking, like the previous film. It did not have the dark vibe, especially the third one. It did have some parallels and references to its sequel, like the main character was infected by the boyfriend, who wasn't then injected by alien blood by the Fassbender's character, and became pregnant of that, thus giving birth to alien head crab. Ripley had similar nightmare in the second film, where he dreamt of waking up with something growing in their stomach, lashing out. The pacing was quick, but there are times where it soaks atmospheres in, like when the group first travels to the spaceship, or when Fassbender's character finds the command center where aliens had dwelled, a death ray kind of weapon, and the atmosphere seemingly absorbs into it. Furthermore, when all hell breaks loose at the space station, even if the action was short-lived, it's really like awesome when Idris Elba goes up and just helps the crew. As a sci-fi film that really doesn't add much horror and omits no relation from the first one, this film did have some intense scenes from time to time. The film did borrow flavors from James Cameron's Aliens, although it relies on action and less on the elements like the first film. Another aspect from the film that I found lacking is the 3D. There aren't much of it. I was surprised that there isn't one of those alien headcraft things jumping towards the screen. The 3D is just an excuse to have stuff like real breeze thrown into your face, but there's no instances where this were actually decent effects. I think the reason why 3D wasn't focused heavily in the film is that it was rushed, and that they done post-production the aspect that they implement less of it. As I said earlier, after watching this film, I did not really care about the character's fate. And this is because, while acting is impressive, I didn't care for the performance by Tomi Rapience, who is known for her character Lesbian Salinger in the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. Her character is a believer in God, as he's probably a Christian, and this religious type did play a part in the film, much to my chagrin and amusement. The religion, in fact, plays with themes of the film, along with Rapunzel's burden of the cross that she wears. Willen also is suffering from a god complex, and furthering the idea of throwing religious beliefs into this film. To this day, I don't understand decision to cast Guy Pearce rather than Max von Sydow, who seems to fit this character. It's like they were mocking the character in the universe with Pierce's fake old man impression, that it felt like his performance fell apart from some sketch from SNL done wrong, then turned to a serious sci-fi like such as this. I did not like Fassbender's performance of David. He doesn't have a stale personality and robotic performance as Henderson as Ian Holm. The character he plays has the objective of wanting to cause havoc of the ownership by first injecting the alien sample from the egg that he took in spiking a drink. At first, I thought he wasn't an android until they said that. He just did not make a convincing android despite being somewhat our antagonist. The main character plays a convincing role that throughout the film, I did not feel that her performance ever connected with the audience, unlike Ripley. Although I did give Fassbender credit, he did not replicate the first two androids and completely avoided the first two movies. The CG effects are another aspect why this film was impressive. The design of the ship and the controls just looked like they were pulled by a Minority Report with the holographic interface, and the scenes in the ship just looks impressive. It feels like Scott had made more of a dramatic atmosphere around the characters, giving them more room to breathe and making less claustrophobic and grim unlike the previous films. While Prometheus had led with a sound note seeing that I hope to anticipate a claustrophobic horror film, much like Scott's Alien film, this film, however, was satisfying, and that disappointed me from watching the IMAX version of it. However, I was surprised that the theater that I went to was nearly empty, and this was the top 5 movies in the charts right now. I did not regret any moment of watching this film, despite many religious overtones and prosthetics to be seen from Pierce. The recent video game that I played is Max Payne 3, developed by Rockstar Games. Like any other Rockstar game, I hadn't really seen a pre-release coverage of this game, neither the amount of pre-release and coverage showcase. Really, what I only had seen is early screenshots of the game from what appeared to be a different looking Max Payne, sporting a shaved bald head with a Hawaiian shirt somewhere in Brazil, doing what he does best, being a better disgruntled cop that was booted off the police force after being framed for murdering his family, and getting revenge on a pharmaceutical company called Acer Corporation and their boss, Nicole Horn, and getting betrayed left and right by others seeking to destroy his life. Now that's a mouthful, but now he somewhat gets his act together in São Paulo, Brazil, working as the rich and the famous as a bodyguard, and had to deal with what the rich has to offer. Like rich snobs and the arrogant, which terrorists and the highly corrupt government official want either their wealth and revenge, and Max and his friendly partner Paso must deal with much to their reluctance. Anyways, I was fond of the Max Payne series. I remember writing some fan fiction and had a fascination on the hardcore cop movies, especially John Woo movies, and the thrill of a rookie cop whose family was murdered, and presumably girlfriend too. This connection is what prompts Max Payne to lose a grip on reality, from his repressed memories of his past haunting him to commit suicide by taking whiskey and with painkillers. This really drives the complexity of the character to a dark and sinister path, and trying to redeem him in the tones of underlying a critical development throughout the storyline. To be honest, I really like the fall of Max Payne more than the first. Not only how hard the game was, but I really liked Mo Sack's character, who was Max's romantic interest in the second game. And the storyline, even though it's still in the first one. I remember how difficult those nightmare sequences are in the first one and in the second one. There's one particular level where you had to carefully balance yourself on being made out of blood, a blood trail, and you had to do some platforming, jumping from one trail to another one, which I failed plenty of times back then. That level, especially after the mansion later in the first game, when Payne gets surrounded by Horn's private security and gets injected by the highly inducive drug called Valkyrie, was very hard. Although it felt like they made the same level earlier, but more difficult and a bigger maze. Other than that, the gameplay was quite dynamic and unique back then, with the slow time, which enables you to go slow motion, allowing you to jump or leap dodge, and eliminate the enemy with a fluid accuracy. Unfortunately, unlike the Fallout Max Payne, bullet time does not speed things for you, but slows anything down to make it more challenging, which sometimes infuriates me due to affecting other gameplay elements such as Last Man Standing. A new feature in this game which allows you to go into slow motion when you are near death experience, and you have to kill the last person who mortally shot you before you die, and this would gain you health if you have a painkiller in hand, which is a health item. At times, this is really frustrating due to the fact that if you're not careful and have trouble with cover system, trying to run up to do a melee attack on someone, running on bullets, or you're too slow on shooting them, you can easily die or have to start from the last checkpoint. Although, again, if you have a painkiller, it will automatically consume it, but painkillers tend to be hard to find like the previous games. It goes on saying that the painkillers does not regenerate your health, but increases your addiction on these pills. I do like the fact that the painkillers affect you, like the previous game, where you felt like popping candy into your mouth. Unfortunately, this ramps up the difficulty to the fact at times there aren't any painkillers when you need them. You have to play through the game, not trying to do all the slow motion flips to avoid dying with a single bullet. Like the previous Max Payne games, you cannot carry arsenal weapons from sniper, rifle, machine gun to dual weapons, but free two sidearms and one two-handed gun. The amount of realism that exists in this game astounds me, and having fewer firearms at times when you're out of luck, health and luck, which was very annoying. You do, however, combine sidearms such as the Uzi with a revolver or a pistol, but you have to drop the two-handed weapons like the shotgun. Although I find it better just using the dual pistols rather than other weapons, not only because it's a signature choice, but it's more effective to me in a gameplay standpoint. There are collectibles in the game which is much like GoldenEye for Nintendo 64, but throughout the game you have to collect several parts to unlock the golden color of the gun. It's almost like Resident Evil 3, where you have to collect gun parts from different places. When I was using the gun pistols, I felt like it does more damage because I found it to be more accurate and took less to kill the enemy. The controls are somewhat terrible, I must say. Maybe it's just because I've been playing the first two games on the PC and how smooth the controls are when playing on a keyboard and mouse rather than control, but it almost felt like L.A. Noir or some sort of engine and boards of shooting mechanics, except for the bullet time. There are three options on aiming: soft aiming, which is the default one, which gets some use to as it does not quickly lock onto enemy. The hard lock, which seems to disable achievements due to its easily snapping to targets. And free aim allows you to aim freely with the controls. I'm still getting antiquated with the controls as I stumble through the difficulty and learning curve. It's just the sloppiness that I tend to play on earlier, going on rifle style killing spree, and I tend to fail at times in the game trying to converse ammo while hiding behind a cover and not having AI flushing me with a grenade. The art style and graphic scenes to inspire like Tony Scott's film Man on Fire. From the dynamic lighting and the very fish on what the film delivers was deeply inspired in the production of the game. We see this style of cinematic inspiration be replaced by realistic comic strips conveying the storyline progression. The graphics itself had that borrowed elements of Man on Fire, with its blurred effects felt like a reverse version of Game Wet, with its cool aesthetic that these two games have. The design on the female is suspected Fabiana, who Max Impossible is production. It looks terrible in my opinion. It just looks like a creepy robotic doll in design. And throughout the game so far, the characters doesn't seem to have good facial expressions that convey emotions that well. I encounter some interactions with the environment, such as Max being able to watch television. Although it's in mainly two channels, such as the news and the cartoon show featuring the adventures of Captain Baseball Bat Boy, which is a notable reference to the previous two games. The animation of that short cartoon looks like the same animation cartoon team that made those cartoons in GTA 4, or Grand Theft Auto 4, which amazes me that they would add a lot of details within their universe. There are also clues and evidence to be found, whether it's found the truth behind the corrupt organizations and gangs that corrupt Sao Paulo. I encountered many problems and issues with the game. Back in Chapter 6, I encountered a clipping problem with the cover system, and when I went to bullet time, I tried to leap dodge into cover into a office cubicle. I fell down and clipped all over the place and could not even shoot my way out of it. Well, the PIM military were killing me. That's the main gripe of this game, and it's so far the only glitch and bug in the game. And other of the problems I address is the last man standing, where I cannot pinpoint the guy that has shot me or when I run out of bullets. Overall, Max Payne 3 is a real thrill to play, regardless of numerous issues and problems I have throughout the game. Rockstar really outdone themselves on making an amazing game, and it shows how successful their company has been over the past decade. And that's for our show today. I'm Tom Swan from the Centennial Journalism Program for this second episode of All Units, which airs every Wednesday morning. I will see you all on Centennial Radio. I got the power making life so exciting. I got the power making life so exciting. It should be a beautiful day.
No way.
And they said,
ready for battle.
Give me your money.
And they said,
beat the Black Knight.